If I say, hey, listen, man, to be a Christian, man, you can't dance. I don't want to be a Christian. Hey, if you want to be a Christian, man, you got to do this, you got to do that. The human heart rebels, don't we? Don't tell me what to do. That's why don't people don't want to come to Christ. They think being a Christian is a big dud. They think being a Christian is not smiling. They think being a Christian is being committed to your own insanity and control. That's not true. There's liberty. There's joy.
Peace in the middle of the storm. There's peace in the middle of the storm. Winds of change may blow your way. There's peace in the middle of the storm. There's peace in the middle of the storm. There's peace in the middle of the storm. His mercy's new for us today. There's peace in the middle, in the middle, in the middle of the storm.
In John chapter 5, the Pharisees rival the Lord after his healing of the lame man at the pool. This sermon is based on his response to the Pharisees. The father is still working. They see a man who hasn't walked in 38 years carrying the mattress that he had laid on for all those years. And what is their attitude? They ridicule him for carrying his mattress on the Sabbath. Well, as Pastor Poncho will explain on this edition of On the Level Radio, as we draw lessons today in the Gospel of John in chapter 5, we'll consider the Father and the Son's work, and that's coming up next.
There's peace in the middle of the storm. There's peace in the middle of the storm.
It's gonna be alright. It's gonna be alright. It's gonna be alright.
And now with today's program of On the Level, here's Pastor Poncho.
Go to Mark chapter 2. I know we're studying John chapter 5, but I want to teach you something or present something to you. You probably already know it. In chapter 2, verse 18, there is a traditional problem. There's a conflict. There's a cultural problem. There's a teaching problem. And Jesus is going to go against tradition and against culture and against customs. If anybody knows about those three elements, you know how dangerous that could be when you start talking about tradition and culture and customs. You know, when you became a Christian, I became a Christian, we have to go back and tell the family we're Christians. And some of those family members, they gasp, they disown you, or they want to murder you. How can you leave the faith? And you ask, what faith? Our faith. And you ask, which is our faith? You know, the faith. What faith? You realize now that you have opened your eyes. They're still in tradition. They're still in culture. They're still in customs. Three elements that causes a volatile expression from people that don't know the Lord. The Pharisees, the very name Pharisees means the separated ones. You see, they have the Sadducees. The Sadducees were very different. They wanted to speak Greek. They wanted to dress like the Grecians. They were called influenced by the Hellenistic culture. The Pharisees were not like them. The Pharisees wanted to bring back the mother tongue, which was Hebrew. The Pharisees wanted to separate from the Gentile world. They did not want to have nothing to do with the Gentile world. They wanted to bring back that beautiful respect that we are the people of God. And it started very well. But within 200 years, it became a burden. What the Pharisees require was the minute detail of duty and obligation to the point of exasperation and distress. During the Sabbath, if you were carrying anything, these were almost, forgive me for using that expression, it's not that bad, but like that Taliban. The Taliban used to carry sticks before the United States there went to Afghanistan, and they had a social religious police. If women who were not covered completely, even if a toe was showing, they will get the rubber hose and beat those women, I mean, with no mercy, because they were showing some flesh, a dirty old toe. And they will beat those women to, how many know what I'm talking about? Raise your hand, okay? Because, you see, if you have my view, there's some people here that are looking at me with that cock eye like, no way, eh? And so that's why I need to get a witness, because I know what I'm telling you. I know what I'm saying. I'm not making that up. So the Pharisees were just like that. They were traditionalists to the bone. They forgot about the word of God. They were now looking at traditions and the culture, especially about washing their hands. It wasn't just washing your hands to eat. It was an exaggerated ritual, laborious, and it was made public so you can have a showing that you are religious by the way you wash your hands. They looked like surgeons right before they entertained surgery. They were washing hands meticulously to eat. So the question now in verse 18 of chapter 2, the disciples of John and of the Pharisees were fasting. Then they, both groups, said to Jesus, "Why do the disciples of John and of the Pharisees fast, but Jesus, your disciples, do not fast?" Jesus said to them, "Can the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with him? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast." Now, what does that mean? Well, what is one of the elements that we do at a wedding? What do? Eat, and what? What else? Drink, and what else? What? I think you said dance. I hope you said dance. And what I mean by drinking, they're not talking about a keg. We're talking about fermented wine. It was better than water, specifically in certain places. They were not getting that Thunderbird and that Ripple, and they were just going at it. This was fermented table wine, and they would be diluted with water. It would be good for their stomach, so they would eat. First, they have the festivities. Now, at the festivities at a wedding, if you know anything about a Jewish wedding, are they sad? No! Are they partying? Big time. 7 days. They go to sleep, and when they wake up, and they eat again. 7 days. So Jesus said to them, you know, why would the bridegroom friend will be sad? It's a wedding. So Jesus was speaking that he was not against the burning of the commands of God, but he was against the human traditions where the traditionalists were taking God. They were taking God out of the equation of fun. We have a lot of friends and neighbors and coworkers. They think being a Christian is just a being square. Listen, I have never had so much fun being a Christian, and I don't take any drugs. I have lots of fun. Lots of fun. I mean, well, we don't need any more liquor. We can laugh for reals. I used to drink and smoke weed so I can laugh. So I can have the inhibitions down so that I can talk my rap. You see, we'll be outside the party, and we'll be down in the wild turkey. Why? Courage. You know, just courage so I can be assertive, so I can be, I have no inhibitions, that I can walk smooth, at least feel smooth. And would you like to dance? All right. Thank you. And we will buy a drink, we will nurse it until the whole night, but we will go to the bathroom, and we will take the wild turkey in the toilet. Come back again, and here we go. And we call that parting. We're parting. See, that's not parting. That's despair. That's self-deceiving. We just don't know that. And so Jesus was not against the commands of God, but with human tradition. You see, Jesus, he brought the essence of Christianity, new life. He wasn't like the Pharisees. He was imparting faith in God. You see, it was faith that controls men, not rules, not tradition, and not strict observances. We respond quite the other way. If I say, hey, listen, man, to be a Christian man, you can't dance. I don't want to be a Christian. Hey, if you want to be a Christian man, you got to do this, you got to do that. The human heart rebels, don't we? Don't tell me what to do. And yet Jesus said, you know, you're putting head trips on people. That's why don't people don't want to come to Christ. They think being a Christian is a big dud. They think being a Christian is not smiling. They think being a Christian is being committed to your own insanity and control. That's not true. There's liberty. There's joy. You see, Jesus said that it was this new form of worship. And so Jesus said, listen, can the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come in the future when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast in those days. No one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, or else the new place pulls away from the old, and the tear is made worse. Now notice to this illustration. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine bursts the wineskins. The wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins. What does that mean? Well, anybody in those days knew that if you're going to put new wine, you got to have wineskins. In those days, they didn't have, you know, like Arrowhead bottles. They had sheep goat skin. And they would wrap them around. They were skins. And they were used as water thermos. And so they will put the new wine, as you know, new wine ferments. As it goes to the fermentation, there are gases. There are all kinds of acidity. And so it expands. And thus the skin, being new, will expand with the new wine. And then they let the wine sit there for a while. Let it age. 1 year, 2 years. The older the wine is, the better. And so they will put the wine in a new wine in new wineskins. So Jesus was saying, if you get an old wineskin and you put new wine, that old wineskin is going to pop and burst and explode. Why? They can't handle the new wine. So what was he saying? He said, hey, all you traditionalists, I have new wine. You guys been drinking the old wine. He said, your old wineskins. He says, if I give you new wine, you'll burst. You don't know how to handle this. So he was, in essence, changing everything. Notice verse 23. Now it happened that he went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. And as they went with his disciples, began to pluck the heads of grain. And the Pharisees said to him, look, why do they do what is not lawful on the Sabbath? But he said to them, have you never read what David did when he was in need and hungry, he and those with him? How he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest and ate the showbread, which is not lawful to eat except for the priest, and also gave some to those that were with him. What was Jesus saying? Well, Jesus was basically saying that human need is far greater than being religious. Far greater. We have this religious people. They have a daughter or a son. They had a horrific accident. And they need to, and that little boy or little girl lost lots of lost blood. And they go to the county hospital. And I was there. Actually, I was working at Martin Luther King. And this little girl, boy, had gotten hit, got run over by a car. There was massive blood lost. And they said immediately, this boy needs a transfusion. But their religion kept them from not having a transfusion. Jesus was saying, a higher order overrules those traditions. And that's what Jesus was saying. You see, Jesus healed a man on the Sabbath, and they wanted to kill him. They wanted to literally kill him, because that's what the law said. The law said, if anybody does not keep the Sabbath, let him be stoned. So the Pharisees were following their tradition, but they put the minute exaggeration, and it was a burden upon the people. They even had a Sabbath day's journey, which was, I believe, was 1,000 paces. You couldn't walk more than 1,000 paces because that will be working. You couldn't be carrying anything on the day of Sabbath because that will be considered working. Do you know when you go to Israel today, on Shabbat or Friday, you better know which elevator you're going to get there. Because there's 3 elevators, and there's 1 elevator where you don't have to push the button because that's working. And that elevator stops at every floor. Nobody wants to take that elevator. But that elevator is automatically programmed, so it'll stop at every floor, so that way nobody will have to push the button. So you understand the exaggeration? People were burdened with tradition, with culture, and the people were saying, we can never be as good as the Pharisees. We will never amount to be like the Pharisees. The Pharisees would pray things like, I thank you that I'm not like the people from Montebello. I thank you that I am not a woman. I thank you that I tithe and the other people don't tithe. You see, they were very religious. And Jesus brought up a good point. He says there was a religious man who was in the temple saying, Lord, I give you this. Lord, I give you that. Lord, he was just exaggerated. He said, but there was another man who couldn't even face the altar of God. He had his head down and he was beating his chest, which was a sign of contrition, basically saying, I'm sorry. And today, American Sign Language, this, by motioning your hand around your chest, means what? Sorry. Sorry. What does this mean? Helicopter. Nah, I'm just messing with you. I'm just messing with you. You're so serious, man. You go, wow. I mean, hey, helicopter. I just got to wake you up, man. That's all I know. Helicopter. At any rate, what was I saying? It'll come to me. The what? Sorry. Oh, yeah. He was hitting his head. And Jesus said, I tell you, the man who could not even look up at the altar and just said to the Lord, I'm a sinner, walked away from the temple much more justified than the other religious nut. And there are very many religious people. I am not a religious person. I don't like religion. I hate religion. And you said, but wait a minute. You're a Christian, right? Precisely. Christianity is not a religion. It's a way of life. It's a faith. It's not being perfect all the time. I don't do this. I don't do that. No. It's not about I don't do. It's what I do that counts. Not what you don't do. Don't tell me what you don't do. What are you doing for the kingdom of God? That's what makes you different. When you do for the kingdom of God. Not what you don't do. Who wants a person who gets saved and they don't do anything? No way. Give me persons that get saved and they do something. Let's change something. Let's change. If we cannot change the world, okay. We cannot change our United States of America, fine. But let's change our city where our church is located. Let's change that. And let's get together. Let's roll up our sleeves in the name of Jesus. And let's do something that makes us stand out as Christians. Amen? It's not about not doing. It's about doing, getting involved, talking the gospel, sharing the gospel. It's not about you going out there and witnessing, which is fine. Well, we're talking about every day just showing your life, your smile, your choices you make, the goodness, the love, the security, the hope that you have, and just your attitude, your comportment, how you walk, how you behave, how you respond, how you talk to people. You see, people ask questions. Hey, they're watching. And when you show the love of Jesus, not religion, when you show the love of Jesus, the love of Jesus is expressed in gesture and speech. We learned that last Sunday morning. Jesus said, Paul says, let your speech always be seasoned with grace. Add salt to your speech. That way you will know how to answer each person accordingly. Wow. You mean my speech is very important? Absolutely. You see, the Pharisees were doing. They were not talking. The Pharisees were so religious. And so Jesus said to them, listen, don't you remember? Haven't you ever read? That even King David walked into the temple of God, and you see, moral duty overrides religious attitude and actions. David said, my men are hungry. We're doing the will of God. We have no food whatsoever. And there were the loaves of bread in the temple. You see, David went inside. Yes, it was a violation. Yes, but you see, human need supersedes religiosity. And he took the bread and gave it to his men. And so Jesus said to the Pharisees, haven't you ever read? And the answer, no. Most people that are religious never read the Bible. Never read the Bible. Have you ever met religious people? They don't know the Bible. They're religious. But they don't know absolutely which way is up when it comes to the kingdom of God. They don't even know anything about the minor prophets, the major prophets. They don't understand Revelation. They don't understand the simplicity of something. They make it very complex. And that's why they're all messed up. They're religious people. I hope you're not religious people. I hope that you're a simple folk that understand the simplicity of Jesus Christ. That's what Paul says. I pray that you would not be deceived by the cunning of the serpent, by the simplicity that is in Jesus Christ. Don't make it complicated. It's very simple. You're a sinner. You need Jesus Christ. You accept Jesus Christ. You believe in the Son of God. He'll give you eternal life, the forgiveness of your sins. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. He will be the governor of your life. And you'll be a child of God, a child of the light. Very simple. What can't you understand about that? And what do I have to do? Nothing. He did everything for us. And what do I have to do? Just respond. Respond to what? Open your heart and receive this gift. What else do I have to do? You don't have to do anything. He does it after for you. He comes in, he changes you, he cleanses you, he agentizes your mind, he cleanses your heart, he gives you will, he opens your eyes, he opens your heart, he opens your wallet, he opens everything. He just takes everything. And we become children of God, and we don't feel like we're getting ripped off. And we find that we're in the will of God. And so Jesus said in verse 27, and he said, the Sabbath was made for men, and not men for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus was basically saying, what are you talking about the Sabbath? I am the Sabbath. If I am the Sabbath and I'm doing works in the Sabbath, that tells you that my Father never takes a rest when it comes to salvation. Can you imagine people at the Sabbath said, Punch, I need Jesus. Not today. Today's the Sabbath, man. You got to go through pain and suffering. Can you imagine someone dying in the hospital on the Sabbath, going to hell because he doesn't have Jesus, and said, oh, it's 6 o'clock, the sun went down. Buddy, it's the Sabbath. You're going to hell. Why? It's the Sabbath. I don't want to help. And so you understand the ludicrous response? Go back with me now. Oh, we never went back, but start with me. In the book of John, chapter 5. Would you believe chapter? Yeah. Chapter 5, verse 13. We'll pick it up from there. Let me give you just a little synopsis. A man, a blind man, forgive me, he's a paralyzed man. He's in a place called in the pool of Bethsaida. According to verse 3, there is a great multitude, thousands of sick folks. They were blind, they were lame and paralyzed. They were waiting for the movement of the water. Evidently, an angel of God will come and stir the waters in the pool. And as soon as somebody heard the splashing, all of this mass, horrible humanity will jump to the water. And the Bible said that according to their superstitious belief, that the first one that would hit the water after the stirring of the water would be healed. So Jesus goes straight to a man. We are told that he's 38 years old in verse 5. When Jesus saw him lying there, verse 6, and Jesus knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, do you want to be made well? Yes or no? And the man goes through his whole history. Sir, I haven't the one to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I'm there, come in there, step down before me. Jesus said to him, rise, take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made well, took his bed, meaning his pallet, and walked. And that day was the dun-dun-dun-dun. The Jews therefore said to him who was cured, it is the Sabbath. It's not lawful for you to be carrying your bed. He answered them, he who made me well said to me, take up your bed and walk. Then they asked him, who is this man who said to you, take up your bed and walk? But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn and a multitude being in that place. So he was gone. Afterwards, Jesus found him in the temple. What is the man doing in the temple? Well, after a miracle, they had to go to the priest and show themselves to the priest. And so he found him in the temple and said to him, see, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest the worst thing comes upon you. Wow, interpret that yourself. Interpret that yourself. Jesus, there's a lot of commentaries on what he did. The Bible doesn't say. All I know that Jesus said, sin no more, lest the worst thing comes upon you. I don't know what he did, but I tell you what. He was 38. Some people believe that he had a venereal disease like gonorrhea. That's why he was being paralyzed, because that's what gonorrhea does. It paralyzes your system, and anyway, it inhibits you, and you become paralyzed. And that's a venereal disease, gonorrhea, that goes untreated. Not speculation, but whatever it is, Jesus just told him, don't sin no more, lest the worst thing happens to you.
God is still working today. His work unceasingly on and for our behalf. God is working in our hearts. He is calling you and I to come to Him and confess Him as Lord and Savior. He's calling us to a deeper commitment to Him. As we've been learning on today's program of On the Level Radio, as Pastor Pancho has been teaching us, in the Gospel of John in chapter 5, there's still much more to learn, which we'll do so on our next program. I hope you can join us then. Well, for the latest news and information, to know anything and everything about our ministry here at the Ark Montebello, as well as being able to review this study again, simply go to our official website. That's where you will find everything you need to know about us, all the social media links, as well as being able to hear this study again. Simply go to our website at thearkmontebello.com. That's thearkmontebello.com. And then please make it a point to join us for our next program of On the Level with Pastor Pancho Juarez.
There's peace in the middle of the storm. Peace in the middle of the storm.
It's gonna be alright. It's gonna be alright. It's gonna be alright.
On the Level Radio is brought to you by the Ark Montebello in California.